I think I'm getting a bit of a cold, so I'm a bit sniffly, but so be it.
Yeah, me too. I've been sniffly for like ever since ACE, basically.
Oh?
Do you know why? Because I went to the bar one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That does it every time. Howdy, it's Thursday, October 10th, 2024, and this is episode 238 of Due for a Win, the solely Atlantic City podcast. I'm Kyle Laskin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
Not baseball. Well,
not baseball, no.
Playoff baseball is very good.
I went to the last game of the year for the Orioles.
Where they got knocked out.
Yeah, last Wednesday.
Playoff baseball is very fun to watch. It might be my favorite playoff sport, but it sucks to get knocked out so early.
It was quite a game. You know, you always love to load the bases or whatever and then just make three outs with scoring zero runs, especially when one of those outs is somehow one of your players swinging at a pitch that, like, hits him in the face, so he strikes out.
It hit him in the hand and broke his hand. And it would have hit him in the chest, like, if it didn't hit him in the hand.
Truly one of the worst swings I've ever seen in my life, but... that's neither here nor there.
Is this going to break him, like, not physically, but, like, how do you come back
next season? Yeah, you can't. You can't come back from swinging at that pitch.
Right.
We would have taken the lead.
And then, of course, immediately gave up a run the next inning. Anyways, that's baseball talk. Let's move on to Always Once Never.
Hey, man, go Mets? ? I don't know.
I said to a friend of mine who's a Mets fan, like, you can't win the whole thing coming back in the eighth inning every game. Like, you just can't do it. But maybe I'm wrong.
Is it 2-1 Yankees right now? Or did they win?
They won last night, and it's 2-1. So
2-1.
They can win today.
I mean, I would like the Royals to win. That would be fine. Better than the Yankees.
Right. Certainly, I'm not rooting for the Yankees.
No. Would rather have anyone win than the Yankees.
That's our Always Once Never. Yankees, Royals.
Yankees are going Yankees straight into the ocean.
Yeah. All right, so Pat G submitted an Always Once Never. He actually submitted a couple, and we got, I think, one more also from someone else, which I think is going to be the finale.
Oh.
Not because there's some huge bomb that gets dropped in it, but just because I think it makes sense as the wrap-up, the proposed Always Once Never from a listener.
Okay.
That I have that I won't tell you about until it's the last one.
So will it even be on the agenda, or are you going to...
Yeah, good question. Maybe I won't put it on the agenda.
I think this one's good. Submitted by Pat G for transportation in/around AC. The three options are boardwalk pushcart, city taxi, or jitney.
And he says, to make it interesting, you can consider having limited mobility due to injury or advanced age. Mm-hmm. So us in our advanced age, both in our 40s.
Yes, indeed.
I'm still 40. Is that in your 40s, or do I have to wait 10 days until I'm 41?
Yeah, I was going to say, your birthday must be coming up soon.
Very soon.
10 days? We're going to AC Ports. What is it going to be, like a Saturday?
It's a Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah, come on. Go Saturday night.
I think I'm going to the Capitals at Devils game on Saturday night, but I haven't bought any tickets yet. I should probably get on that. But anyways, boardwalk pushcart, city taxi, jitney, what are you doing?
I don't know, and maybe I lose all my AC podcaster cred. I don't think I've ever ridden a jitney. If I have, it was in like 2006 or whatever on like my first or second trip there. But I don't think so. I think I always took like the casino shuttles that went from the marina to the boardwalk, like from Harrah's to Caesars or whatever.
I'm pretty sure I did the jitney one round trip, like boardwalk to Borgata, Borgata to boardwalk. I think that's the only time I've ever done it.
Yeah.
It's an experience. The one I had drove very recklessly, and I've heard from others that that's not atypical.
Uh-huh.
So that was interesting. We're saying limited mobility because you would just walk everywhere.
Right.
So that's out.
Yeah. City taxi, I have taken. We took it recently when we went to Knife and Fork, right? Because it was going to be just way cheaper than an Uber because it was going to be at the maximum, $13 or whatever the maximum is in the city. Boardwalk pushcart, I've also never done.
Me neither.
I had a great conversation walking the whole way down the boardwalk at like 2 in the morning one time with a guy who was like, come on, man, just sit in my pushcart and let me take you to Stilettos and I'll give you like $10 or something like that. Because I think he got paid for bringing people there.
Yeah.
But he's like, you can just go in for 2 minutes and then leave. I don't care. But like, if you just sit in my thing and let me take you to Stilettos, I'll give you like $5 or $10.
Yeah, it must have been summer, right? Because I can't imagine there would be pushcarts in the middle of the night.
So that was an amazing experience. But
that is good.
I did not go to the Stilettos, unfortunately.
So knowing that you can take the pushcart to Stilettos, does that make it immediately or always?
I mean, I think there's a couple more options here that we could talk about. I mean, I don't know if that just breaks the game if there's five, but another option would be the Boardwalk Tram, I guess, if you want, which I think I have taken before.
No, I've never taken that. I would never take that. That goes in the ocean.
Okay. So you're not interested in the Boardwalk Tram. I would rather take that than the pushcart, I think.
Yeah.
Just because it seems less awkward.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
You know, having some guy talk to you the whole time. And then Uber, which I've taken many times in Atlantic City.
Right.
But if we want to stick to these three, Boardwalk Pushcart has to go in the ocean, right? Well, so if I have limited mobility, maybe it's the best option because I just want to go casino to casino, right?
That's true.
See the boardwalk.
Right. You're seeing the boardwalk.
I'd rather take a tram personally than the pushcart, but...
That's not an option.
Yeah, not an option. I mean, city taxi, you can go anywhere. That's the big advantage, right? Like, you're stuck on the boardwalk with the pushcart or with the tram. Those can't be always.
Right, and the jitney has a very defined route.
Right. Yeah, city taxi always. Jitney, once more. Pushcart, straight in the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love that if you're taking the city taxi from, say, like, Tropicana to Ocean, you're not seeing the boardwalk side.
Right.
But you're getting there way faster.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's got to be the always.
There is something to be said for... I guess if you cannot ambulate up and down the boardwalk yourself, at least on the pushcart, you will be able to see it. And that does bring value to me, I think. But yeah, taxi's just much more flexible.
Yeah.
Jitney, I feel like I need to do once in a way that I don't feel like I need to do a pushcart once. So
we're both going city taxi always.
Right.
You're going jitney once. I'm going pushcart once. And then you're putting pushcart in the ocean and I'm putting the jitneys in the ocean. Sorry, jitney guy.
Yeah.
Into the ocean. Not you, just your jitney. That's always, once, never. We have a couple more. I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
Over under final episode with Always Once Never, 244.5.
This is a weird one for me to bet on because you can just keep coming up with them if you, you know.
We're not going to bet. No money. Just right. Guess.
I'd assume the under, but maybe they'll start coming out of the woodwork now that people know that we're serious about getting rid of it.
Yeah. I was originally going to say 245, and I was like, that seems like a little too clearly an under or a push. I don't know. I guess I'd slightly go under still. We'll see. We'll see what we get.
Yeah.
We need to figure out a new segment.
Yeah.
The new segment is going to be Craig's Book Reviews.
All right. So you've got one for us.
I won't do a whole review. It's interesting that we talked about the pushcarts because the pushcart is sort of used as the initial framing in this book. Boardwalk of Dreams by Bryant Simon, which is not a new book for sure. Originally published in 2004. So a 20-year-old book. It talks at the end of the book about the just-opened Borgata, which opened in 2003. Boardwalk of Dreams is a very, like, academic book, I would say, in a way that Boardwalk Empire and Boardwalk Playground are not, and even The War at the Shore by Skip Bronson. Like, those books are more telling a story in a way that this is very much researching the history of Atlantic City. And in a lot of ways, I feel like it's more, it tells you more about the people who live there and how Atlantic City worked and looked and everything than some of the other ones that are looking at it from a very tourist perspective and like, oh, this is why the tourism went away. So it's very interesting and I think like really important to read if you're like us and really care about the history of Atlantic City. And the biggest reason I think that it is important is that so much of what you read about Atlantic City, either like articles or books, are focused on Atlantic City as a resort town. And this book looks at it as a city. So it acknowledges that it's this beach tourist resort town and that that's like the main driver of the economy, but also that a lot of the problems that plagued it in, you know, the 50s, 60s, 70s up to casino gambling and really beyond and continuing on from that are problems that were plaguing cities everywhere. So It's very easy to think about, oh, well, people started going to other destinations. People started going to Disney World and all that stuff, and people could fly, so they didn't drive to Atlantic City anymore. This talks about, like, what did that mean for the city of Atlantic City, and how much of a role did the fact that Atlantic City is a city and has city things play in, like, okay, people can now drive to other places or fly to other places, but why did they not drive to Atlantic City? And a big part of that, the book argues, is because a bunch of suburbanites didn't want to be in a city. They didn't want to experience the city, certainly in the 70s and 80s. So it's really interesting in that standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, just to tack on to that, I do think that that's something to be said is, even though we are both younger listeners, posts or whatever. Like my sense is that cities, like everywhere in America in the 60s and 70s, were like very deeply unpleasant places in a way that they're not now. So that is something to keep in mind. And yeah, I'm sure Atlantic City was not out of the ordinary back then, because like I said, my sense is that cities 60s, 70s, 80s were like not nice places to be. Crime was way higher than it is now, etc.
Yeah, and it goes into all that and talks about sort of the roles that implied segregation plays and all that. And Brian Simon really tries to like downplay the role of being able to fly anywhere and all this other stuff, and say it's more about like the changes that happened in the city of Atlantic City that led people to go to other places.
City of Atlantic.
Yeah, and so I was kind of like, yeah, but also the car stuff is a big deal, and like obviously huge changes in how people consume things. But, you know, if Atlantic City was still awesome, right, people would have kept going to Atlantic City. It's interesting, like sort of chicken or egg question, I guess. And a big part of it also, it does talk about a couple of times, everybody sort of blames Atlantic City government and stuff like that. And it certainly has its share of blame. But it's this unique issue that Atlantic City has, even with casino gambling, where it still has to like manage this city and provide city services in a way that unincorporated Paradise, Nevada does not have to, mm-hmm. right? Like they built the Vegas Strip outside of Las Vegas. It's not right. actually in the city. Whereas like, downtown Vegas is actually, you know, Fremont Street is in Vegas, and it's a very different experience when you get outside of Fremont Street. So, which the book, I think, could have probably mentioned that more, but it was good. It's very, very good. I'll say it's not long, but it is not a quick read. It does feel a little bit at times like doing homework, because it's like a lot of research notes, but it's like extremely, extremely well researched. Interviews with people who moved in the 70s and 80s, who lived there, who were working there. So in terms of having a lot of detail from what it actually was like in Atlantic City at these times throughout history, the research that he did is really incredible. So yeah, it was great. If you want to read it, I'll bring it to you sometime. It's good.
Yeah, I'd probably take it.
So I have one more Atlantic City history book on my shelf, the Ovid Damaris book, Boardwalk Jungle, which is more about the mob. I know that Michael Traeger from Travels Orc is a big fan of that book, so that's the reason I bought it. So I'll have to read it. And then, you know, 6 years from now when I actually read it, I'll give it a review. But I've got a shelf with 5 Atlantic City books on it, and I know there's another one I have to buy.
So y'all can look forward to that on episode 393 of Two for a Win.
Yeah.
All right. So the aquarium opening, which has been delayed several times, I think most recently to just after Labor Day, right, which we were making fun of as a bad time to open anything in Atlantic City, it was delayed again to December.
It seems like at this point, wait until the spring. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, at some level, because it's run by the city, you know, it's maybe something more for the locals than for tourists, or, you know, at least as much for locals as tourists. So it's not like necessarily they're trying to make money with the aquarium.
Right. That's true.
We've talked about this a lot when the first or, you know, one of the many delays that have happened. So I don't know. Do you have anything more to say about this?
No. I mean, Marty Small did say that they could have opened it sooner, but they wanted to make sure it was like done. Like everything was really complete before they opened it. So I guess they're waiting for it to be, as he said, the best aquarium that it could be.
Uh-huh.
In the article by the Philly Voice that I will link to.
Marty Small, someone who has no controversy around him right now?
No, they definitely, it's not just arraigned today or yesterday, but I don't know. We don't need to get into all that.
Bring back the halcyon days of like episode 5, Do for a Win. Just only talk about politics.
All politics all the time. Yeah. Yeah, I don't miss that.
Nope.
Don't miss that at all. Should we talk about this New York Post article that you sent me?
Yeah. Oh, amazing. So it was about how Atlantic City dismantled a large homeless encampment that was under the boardwalk near resorts. It had some just great details about like all the space heaters and everything down there and, you know, all the different rooms. And it was very interesting. And like, but one of the details that I loved just the absolute most was that apparently, for reasons I don't understand fully, the beer at Landshark was run from the resorts, so they ran like the tubes under the boardwalk or whatever, and the homeless people had tapped into the tubes, so they were basically getting free beer down there.
Yeah.
So, which I thought was just absolutely amazing. I mean, I think that this has come up more often because of the couple of fires that have happened underneath the boardwalk recently. I guess there's one near Irish Pub and then the big one near resorts. So
yeah, another one, yes, by Central Pier. I guess that's the one across from Irish Pub. Yeah. The Central Pier is still closed, I believe. Yeah, interesting article. It's by Kevin Sheehan and Ronnie Reyes of the New York Post. I'll link to it. If you've sort of heard about these fires and been like, what the hell is going on under the boardwalk there? You know, is it just like a couple people randomly like living there and starting trash can fires? This article really sheds a light on how much it goes beyond that. And it's one of those articles where like every paragraph there's something where you're like, no way. And like the next paragraph, something even crazier happens and there's right. pictures of it and everything. They were charging electric bikes. They had like makeshift kitchens. So there you go with the fires.
Yeah.
A tenant set it up in some delivery app where you could call into places and give the Showboat hotel address and say you're in apartment U. U, like under the boardwalk. It's amazing. Uh-huh. And then they would deliver food to under the boardwalk. Man, I would not want to be that delivery guy. It's terrifying. Just a crazy story.
Yeah. And there was a bunch about the people who go around and try to get these homeless people, I guess, into shelters or whatever. Many of them are just not interested.
Yeah, and one of the things late in the article says that people are sort of skeptical of the services or something, like they don't want to go into the shelters. And I really thought when it was talking about it that it was going to say, like, what do you mean? We've got it good down here. Like, why would we, yeah. why would we go into some shelter
free
where
beer.
We've got free beer and hot plates and stuff? But yeah, they've shut this whole thing down. And the hope, I guess, is that it will now get these people to
go to the shelters.
Go to the shelters, actually. But yeah. Yeah, really interesting article with a lot of anecdotes that really stood out. So go read that.
Yeah.
Like I said, sheds a light on this whole situation that seems like very confusing anytime there's a boardwalk fire. Slightly less confusing now.
All right. So you have an article here about Resorts Digital. So what happened?
I think right after we recorded the last episode, something popped up in my feed that Boyd Gaming, Boyd Interactive, known for their many downtown casinos in Las Vegas and also formerly the half owner of Borgata, bought Resorts Digital, which initially I was like, that's crazy. You know, Resorts is selling off their online arm. That's where all the money is, right? But it turns out that Resorts Digital is just resortscasino.com, MohegansunCasino.com, and some other unused gambling name. And actually, you know, Resorts' big license is with DraftKings. Right. Mm-hmm. So they also have Penn Gaming, PokerStars, ESPN Bet. Resorts Casino and MohegansunCasino.com brought in a total of $3.2 million in August. I'll link to a Yahoo Finance article that talks about this. DraftKings brought in $43.2 million. So, yeah, I was sort of thinking they were taking this initial financial windfall and giving up a whole lot of future revenue, but it does not actually seem like they're giving up a whole lot of future revenue.
So I don't know the answer. I don't know if you do either, but how is this possible? I thought to run any of the online casinos in New Jersey, you had to have a physical presence, which Boyd does not anymore since they sold the Borgata.
Right. I don't understand that either. Like, this seems like a strange workaround to me.
I mean, obviously, they've got a record with the Gaming Commission or whatever, given they used to be a casino owner, but, you know, they're not anymore, right?
Right. Like, are these things still considered tied to Resorts' license? It does seem very odd, because I would not have thought that you'd be able to sell them to some totally unrelated gambling entity and have them own it.
If any of our listeners know anything about that, reach out and let us know, and we'll update everyone in the next episode. Because I am confused. I didn't think something like this would be possible for a non-gaming entity to buy, like, an online casino in New Jersey.
Yeah, and nothing I read about it explained that, so I don't know how that works. I mean, obviously they figured it out. But
right. It's happened, so it's clearly allowed.
Right, like Mohegan Sun was always tied to Resorts' license, but yeah, now these things being owned by Boyd seems very strange compared to that.
All right, we got a few mailbag questions, and we actually, it sounds like, have a few more in the hopper that we can bring out on future episodes, but there's two that you think we should answer today. So the first one is from friend of the pod, Justin W. Where would you rather stay with kids under 10, Tropicana or Caesars?
To me, it's just a no-brainer. I think Tropicana by far has more stuff. It has an arcade downstairs for kids. Mm-hmm. It has IMAX theater, escape room, a bunch of stuff in the quarter that's not really connected to a casino.
It has a pool, which Caesars does not, correct?
I don't think Caesars does have a pool, does it?
Yeah, it's very no, I don't think so.
Trop definitely, I think, is way, way ahead. More restaurants. The only thing I could say for Caesars is that it's more central on the boardwalk. And if you really want to, like,
go to Lucky Snake or something,
go to the outlets in Dave and Buster's, yeah, or up to Lucky Snake, then that proximity is maybe helpful. But in general, Tropicana, I think, is more kid-friendly.
There is something to that, I think. The other thing, if you're someone who cares a lot, and I had 3-year-old or something in Hard Rock, which I think also is bad at this, but it feels like to me you can more easily navigate Caesars without necessarily going through the casino to get somewhere, though not if you're going out to the boardwalk, you do have to go through the casino. But in terms of like if you're parking in the garage and checking in and going to the hotel, you don't need to go through the casino, I suppose, in the same way that I feel like in Trop you do. But is that even true? If you're in Havana Tower, you don't.
I mean, that's true. If you're in Havana Tower, you don't. And in Caesars, I feel like that really short walk through the upstairs casino is probably totally fine.
That's true. Yeah, even if you're in Centurion Tower, you will have to go through the casino. It's only if you're in Ocean or Forum, you won't.
But that quick walk through that upstairs casino is not bad. The downstairs casino where you'd go out to go to the boardwalk, like that's, you're just going
yeah,
through a whole lot.
It wasn't a big deal for me. I mean, Hard Rock, like I said, we just had to cut through the casino all the time with my 3-year-old being like entranced by the slot machines.
Yeah, there's just no way around it. I mean, Ocean is by far the best for that in terms yeah. of like you can just absolutely avoid the casino if you want.
100%.
Yeah, Tropicana, I think if you're in Havana.
Havana, you don't have to go into the casino at all.
Or Chelsea.
Yeah.
Similarly, but do not stay in Chelsea with your family.
Don't go to Chelsea. Yeah, don't. Don't stay in Chelsea, period.
Yeah, I think just having more availability of stuff is good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think if there's some way from the North or South Tower to go down to the lobby and get out, but I don't think that that would be a very good way to do it.
I mean, the South Tower, you can go to like the level that has the walkway to Chelsea, right? North Tower, I think you just have to go to the casino. I don't think there's any way around it. But the lobby, I feel like you have to go through the casino to get to, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's not a big deal for me, but some people, I think, do care about that.
Yeah, but as far as stuff to do, I think there's just way
more. Tropicana wins. Yeah, yeah, 100%.
There's just not that much to do at Caesars, period. So
no.
So that's the first question.
Yep.
Pat G, who submitted the Always Once Never for today, has another question, which I don't know if you've thought about at all, but you may have to come up with it off the top of your head. What is something you only do in Atlantic City and not anywhere else you go? He said for him, it's black coffee with Sambuca in it. He only has one and only in Atlantic City. Do you have anything?
I mean, other than strawberry daiquiri whipped cream.
Yeah, it's a goofy one. It's sort of like an Atlantic City specific drink to me.
Yeah.
RC Cola. I used to go get an RC Cola on the boardwalk at Peanut World.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't think I really have anything like this. I mean, maybe I'll have different types of snacks on vacation in general than I would at, but something special for just Atlantic City. I mean, like Gilchrist's, obviously, I eat a lot and that's not possible to get anywhere else, but no, nothing like what Patchy's saying, the black coffee with Sambuca. There's no special drink I have or anything like that.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to remember next time I'm in Atlantic City, I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm just sitting here chain smoking cigarettes, which I don't ever.
Oh yeah, of course.
That did used to be like a Vegas thing when we were going to Vegas every year. It's like, oh, I'll have a cigarette in Vegas. I never smoke any other time. But last two times we've went, I didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
The downside does not match whatever pleasure you get out of it.
I feel like I might have had a cigarette in Philadelphia when we were all there. But
oh, maybe.
I don't remember. I know there were cigarettes to be had.
There was briefly a time where I would drink Bud Heavy, Budweiser for those who don't call it Bud Heavy, in Atlantic City casinos, which I would never drink anywhere else. But the reason for that is because Matt Bridger drinks Budweiser in all his videos. Uh-huh. And it's like, oh, that's like a decent, you know, it's like a 5% beer.
Budweiser's not bad.
Tastes okay. It's not so strong that you're getting wasted, but it's not just like Coors Light.
Infinitely better than Coors Light or Bud Light, in my opinion.
Yeah. I should go back to the Bud, to regular Budweiser. I don't know why I never think of it. I only think of light beer when they come around.
I just get Miller Light. I mean, I would get, if I had to have something that was not Miller Lite, like Bud Heavy, I think would be a good choice.
Yeah.
I do not like Bud Light or Coors Light. So
Bud Light, I think, is just awful. It's funny to say like, oh, Bud Light's bad, but Miller Lite's good.
Yeah. But I said it. I mean, Bud Light is bad. Bud and Miller Lite are good.
I wonder if they have High Life on the casino floor. I want some High Life.
They did. Where did they have it? Did we get it at Showboat when it was a casino?
Oh, I have no idea.
I feel like you could get High Life in those little cups.
Maybe.
Delicious.
Michelob Ultra.
They do have that at most casinos, I think.
I'm sure, yeah. That's a standard.
Not good.
Tastes like nothing. It's a very popular post-hockey game beer, the Michelob Ultra.
For the parking lot?
We're usually in the rink lobby. Now I drink non-alcoholic beer because I have to drive home.
I thought you said that you and one other guy carpool so you can alternate.
He had shoulder surgery, so now it's just me. Yep.
Yep.
We'll see how long I last on this team. I've said that for like 5 years, and I'm still on the team, so, you know.
Yep. All right, and I guess the last thing we have is August data.
Data.
everyone's been anxiously waiting for this since we didn't do it last episode.
The September data comes out in like 4 days.
Yep.
So we got to get in that August data.
August data is up 4.9% from August 2023, and probably more surprisingly, 8% from July of 2024. So yeah. 8% month over month. Everybody is up year over year, except for resorts, which is down 9%. To me, it just looks like they had an incredible August last year. So you're the one that filled this out, so I haven't looked at their luck or anything. But their month actually looks fine. It's just they had a very good month last year.
They were up over July, which most of everyone was, which is very interesting. Like just
about everyone except for Borgata.
Huge month over month, even like, which it is a full 5 weekend month in August. 2023 mm-hmm. was a 4 weekend month, so you know, we've talked about that being about a 5% bump. We see 4.9%, so it does sort of go along with that. But I mean, it does still seem like a pretty good month. I mean, you see like $74 million for Borgata, 55.4 for Hard Rock, 44 for Ocean. Like, those are big numbers. Obviously, you know, still the peak of summer, which seems funny to talk about when it's 55 degrees here, but it seemed like a pretty good month.
Yeah, I think it's a good month. As we always say, 1 month doesn't really matter, so we'll see how things are going. But it's more positive than it seems like it has been the last few months, I guess.
Yeah, one thing that stood out to me was, like, obviously a lot of people were up over July, which is interesting, but Harrah's and Caesars especially, Harrah's up 30% over their July, Caesars up 20%, Ocean up 20% over July. Like, a bunch of the other casinos are in sort of this, like, 1, 3, 7, right? But, like, the huge gains over July that Harrah's and Caesars had is really interesting. And Tropicana, eight. A pretty good month for the Caesars properties, which is not what we've seen or what we've talked about at all prior to this. So good to see, I'd say. Like, even year over year, Caesars was up 9% year over year. I mean, Harrah's only up 2.3% and Tropicana up less than 1% year over year. But I mean, what we've been talking about is them having just like disaster year over year. So a little bit of a rebound for them in August, which is good to see.
I mean, I will say it's the best August since 2014. And even that was also another $294 million month, just a little bit higher in the hundreds of thousands digit. So it's a good month. It's a good month, I think, no matter how you look at it. So we'll see what happens in September in a couple days.
Yeah. Emergency podcast on like Tuesday.
Yeah.
This episode won't even be up yet, and we'll be recording another episode just to make sure we get in the data.
Yeah, you got to. All right. Well, thank you guys very much for listening. If you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so at our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/doforawin. Find all of our great content and buy a shirt at doforawin.com. Reach out to Craig on Twitter at doforawin or me at Kyle Askin, and send Craig questions to doforawin@gmail.com, and we can answer them on air. So, like Craig said, I think we've got two mailbag questions in the hopper still, and one or two more always, once, nevers, but send us suggestions for both. And as promised, we will read them on air. Any last words?
Go read Atlantic City history books.
Yeah, you got to. It's your homework.
It is.
Yeah, maybe soon enough we'll do maybe not a book review episode, but maybe we can do a movie review.
Oh yeah, there are several movies.
Yeah. I mean, there's one called Atlantic City, right?
There is.
I still haven't seen it.
At least one. There might be two.
I've seen a couple more on my YouTube. It knows what I like, so it's given me like a video from the 90s after we did our last review on that video from the 80s. And I think there's a video from like the 40s also or something. So
the video from the 80s being the Bill Moyers video,
the CBS News one, but whatever. Yep,
that gets mentioned in Boardwalk of Dreams by Brian Simon.
Oh
yeah,
I mean, it was a good video.
It was,
like I said, there had a lot of heavy hitters from Atlantic City in it. Steve Wynn, Maria from Maria's Luncheonette, Angelo from Angelo's Fairmont Tavern.
Yeah,
what more do you want?
It was good.
The guy who owned the Marlboro Blenheim.
Oh yeah, that guy gets talked about a lot. Reese Pally, he gets talked about a whole lot in the Brian Simon book. So interesting.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll talk to you all in a couple weeks.
Reese Pally was saying nobody should live in Atlantic City. Like, kick everybody out. Everything west of like Pacific Ave is just parking lots to feed the casinos. Which the book sort of says, like, you know, other than actually getting rid of the people, that's not far off from what we got. Like, pretty much just casinos and parking decks.